what's happening here. One last announcement, really. Emily was telling me that for this weekend, do you want to share it or do you want me to say it? Just say it real quick.
We need some help from Friday night, 6 p.m. to midnight, Saturday, let's say 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Monday, 4 p.m. to midnight in the prayer room. A lot of our people are going to be gone, and they've asked for the time off. Who they're every weekend here, either gatekeeping or singing, playing an instrument, or worship leading. So if for those of you who are in the marketplace who are going to be off in the weekend, you're not going anywhere, and you can sew 2, 4, 6, 8 hours, whatever you can do, please come see me right after service because we need some help to keep the prayer room open for Memorial Weekend.
Amen. So we do need that. Let's make sure. And then many of us are going to be suffering for Jesus next week at the beach. Glory to God. No, anyways, I'm going to be loving the Lord in there. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Amen. And let's just ask the Lord to anoint today the word. Father, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, today for your word. I thank you, Father, for the privilege of being a minister of the gospel. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would continue to release your word, that it would strike our hearts, Lord God, in healing, that it would encourage us and make us hungry for the attributes of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives, on our daily walk with God. We ask you to strengthen our community here, strengthen the people that are involved in our families. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, I want to just say I'm just really excited about the momentum we're seeing. Like today, we're having a water baptism. It's going to be awesome. My own son came to me. We're in the dinner table the other day. I said, you know, we're just kind of passing by. I just said, look, I'm going to be water baptizing. And my 9-year-old son says, Dad, I want you to water baptize me. I'm like, oh, hallelujah. I go, do you really know what it means to get baptized? Because I don't just want to, so many people get baptized like 3 or 4 times in their lives because they never knew what that happened when they're little. They said, yeah, he said, yeah, Dad, I know what water baptism is. I go, what is it? He goes, it's like a outward sign of your faith in Jesus. And I go, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's, I said, now, you all stand, you're standing before people and you're going to be unashamed that you are saying that you're a Christian and you love Jesus. I know. I go, okay, you're ready to get baptized. Amen. So I'm just excited. We're seeing momentum. We're having these classes now that we're starting. Last week, if you guys noticed, I introduced our life groups up here because we wanted to show our congregation that we are preparing for the great harvest. Can I hear an amen? I'd rather prepare now and not have anybody in the life groups than when the flood of souls come and we have to rush to get something together. But God is going to honor us when we have our nets in order. Can I hear an amen? Well, today I want to continue on the topic of something a little bit different on the person of the Holy Spirit, since it is that we got this conference for the Spirit of Pentecost. And so I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite scriptures. Okay, Darius and those guys out there, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to have a lot of scriptures today, so just be listening, and I'm going to have you guys put it on the screen. How many were here at the Spirit of Pentecost conference? Wave your hand. Okay, wave your hand if you weren't here in the Spirit of Pentecost conference. It was a powerful time of training, teaching, and impartation. Amen? I want to read first from verse 1 through 5, and then I'm going to just share some things, and I'm going to give you some attributes of the person of the Holy Spirit in the early church. One of the things I want to do today is I want to cover, I spent about a week, and then a week studying this, a week and a half, and then 5 or 6 hours yesterday in a row just diving into the book of Acts as I've been doing for the last several months, and really picking 7 or 8 key principles all throughout Acts in the early church of the difference the Holy Spirit made on people's lives after Pentecost. Can I hear an amen? Because we only think of Pentecost as power and shaking and speaking in tongues, and that's powerful. But there was clear evidence of, tangible evidence of the work and the reality of the Holy Spirit on people's lives. So I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then I'm going to share from here. I'm going to read only from this version. Everything will be, starting in verse 1. Everything will be in New King James Version except for this one. I'm going to read, while you're sitting there on the screen, I'm going to read the NLT version for these first 5 verses. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, this is Paul speaking, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that. I did so, now this is where I want to transition. The reason I did this is so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And everyone said, amen. One of the things I want to share, the reason why I share this opening scripture is one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. But in the first day, on Wednesday, in the Spirit of Pentecost conference, one of the things that we learned, Pastor Carlos was talking about the meaning of Pentecost and how it was, he shared a little bit today on how they would have a wave offering and the unleavened bread actually at the same time. And this symbolized the Jew and the Gentile coming together to have the benefits, to reap the benefits of salvation. On Thursday night, we learned how the person and the role and the work of the Holy Spirit, I spoke that night, we learned on how the difference between grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. And we learned how the Holy Spirit can be quenched and he could be grieved by our lifestyle. That's a whole other sermon. And then we learned on Friday the importance of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Spirit to bring miracles, to set captives free. Today, I want to focus on the difference maker. If I had to title this, I'm not into titles. I'll call this the Holy Spirit is the difference maker. The difference maker that the Holy Spirit makes in the early church that's still available for us today. Can I hear an amen? And the reason why I say that is because when the disciples were waiting in that glorious time, in the day of Pentecost, in the days to come, what they were about to experience was something historic, a new era. It was not going to be just another level that they had in their walk with God. It was going to enter into an entirely new era in history where God Almighty was going to enter man. Forever. Where God Almighty in the person of the Holy Spirit was going to dwell with man and live and abide with them. This, my friends, is the difference between Christianity and every other religion. Can I hear an amen? Let me tell you what I mean by that. Every other religion, Almighty God, with all of his attributes, with all of his power, is now, during this dispensation, going to live inside of man. God, uncreated God, was about to come and live and abide inside man. The other religions of the world, they try to make you wake up something that's already inside of you. All the other religions of the world is a self-help motivated, trying to raise up or wake up courage in us or wake up the new person, the inner hidden person in you. And all of the other religions don't have God in the flesh coming in and possessing our souls. But Christianity says what you have inside of you is not enough. That's why we need to have an empowerment from on high in the person of the Holy Spirit to come and live and abide and transform you from the inside out. Glory to God. That is why that's what separates Christianity from all the other religions. It's the God, eternal God, by His Spirit, entering and dwelling inside of man. That is incredible. I used to tell young people, what are you afraid of? You have angels assigned to you, you have the blood of Jesus, and you have God living inside of you. I mean, it's like this. If there was 4 or 5 lions coming, roaring and coming and attacking this little French poodle with a nice little cute haircut, and if that French poodle was there, how ridiculous would it be if 4 or 5 lions would come and attack this French poodle and all of a sudden the master would say, awaken the lion in you, awaken! Awaken that lion in you, awaken courage in you. No, that French poodle is going to get devoured in seconds, haircut and all. It's going to get devoured, but, now watch this, if God ever intended the French poodle to stand against the lions, he would have to do something to make it fair. In order for him to do that, he would have to put the heart and the DNA of a lion inside of the French poodle. Some of you know where I'm going with this already. And so if he was intended to do that, why? Because he had to make sure that in order for him to defeat and be stronger than the enemy, he had to be greater than the enemy. You know, the Bible still says, greater is he that lives in me than he who lives in the world. I know we have made such a cliche out of that, but my friends, that's exactly what the Father did when he sent the Holy Spirit in us. He knew that we would fight an enemy, the principalities and demonic forces on the earth. So he said, it's not a fair fight if you do it by yourself because you're just a French poodle. But what you need is the DNA of God living inside of you through the person of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way we could be advantageous and glorious in our life when we realize that the Holy Spirit, God, I explained on Thursday night that the Holy Spirit is attributed to deity, God, in the Bible. He is God, just like the Father, just like the Son. Don't throw tomatoes at me, it's true. Now, you and I have to get to that place where we need to start activating that reality of the Holy Spirit. So today, I want to take, for the next 30 minutes or so, I want to take an adventure in the book of Acts. Do you want to go on an adventure in the book of Acts? Almost all my scriptures today, I spent hours just studying attributes of the early church. Now again, when I say the early church, it's Ephesians and Corinthians, it's all that. But I want to focus on the immediacy of the early church in the book of Acts. And I want to give you about 7 or 8 attributes or differences that the Holy Spirit made on these people's lives. Do you want to hear that? There was a clear, tangible, visible difference in the lives of the early church after, everybody say after. After the Holy Spirit was encountered them and they were filled with them. So I'm going to take you on a journey on the book of Acts and of these 7 or 8 attributes because I desire, and I know you desire, to hunger for the reality and victory of the person of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? We as a church have been so defeated, and we speak in a couple of languages and tongues, and we call that power. And we babble and we practice sometimes the tongues that we've learned 5 years ago, and we're still grumpy and we're still mad at the preacher that doesn't do the things that they want them to do. And yet we speak in tongues for an hour, yet we become unchanged by the power and the presence of God. Speaking in tongues is awesome. That is not a license for you to have a charismatic badge on you to show that you're spiritual. And so, I want you, if you're taking notes, I want you to just start taking notes in this here. I mean, that's true though, isn't it? Speaking in tongues is not evidence that Jesus is flowing with might and power. Let me tell you, these guys had an authentic visible. When people saw the early church, after the Holy Spirit came in them and upon them, you actually saw something different. But what we see in our charismatic circles is not the same thing for the most part that we see in the early church. Come on, say amen. I love you, Sarah. I love you. Come on. The first attribute. Okay. Edit. Go. The first attribute of the early church, and I want you to write this down because it's going to seem simplistic, but I'm not going where you think I'm going. The first evidence, this is not in any order, that I saw that stood out to me as I studied the early church of the difference of the Holy Spirit is authentic and biblical joy. Oh, I know, you're going to say, I know, I'm going to get there. Not the joy that we think of when we think of the joy of the Holy Ghost. Because what we think of the joy of the Holy Ghost is a license to get drunk in the Spirit and go from renewal service to conference to get blasted and laugh. And that's not the joy that I'm talking about. Amen, we got a few amens on that. The authentic joy of the Lord was a strengthening and enduring joy to endure trials and fiery trials. No, it was an inner joy from the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to share scriptures with you of one of the greatest difference makers that the Holy Spirit has on the early church. That despite fiery trials and despite incredible circumstances, they had authentic joy that was birthed from the Holy Spirit. It wasn't this laughter joy only that's external. We have limited the joy of the Holy Spirit. Can I just be honest? We have limited the joy of the Holy Spirit to when someone does a real cool fast song and everybody in the room starts jumping up and down and going crazy. That's the joy of the Lord. We've limited the joy of the Lord to that. And then we question, hey, why aren't you joyful? Why aren't you jumping? Why aren't you jumping? I could be as serious as today and still have joy inside, because the joy that many of us unfortunately have been experiencing is an external joy. It's a manifestation, and I love that. But let me tell you, that's not going to get you through fiery trials. The same people that are dancing in a cool song, if you don't have the true authentic joy of the Holy Spirit to sustain you during fiery trials, you will be sad quick when fiery trials come. I want to share something with you. Look at Acts chapter 13 on the screen. Acts chapter 13, I'm going to give you lots of scriptures today because we're going to go through a journey in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, look at verse 44, glory to God. Verse 44 through 52 is going to be up there on the screen, through 44 through 52. Acts chapter 13 says this, all right? Look at this. Now, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming, and they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you Jews rejected it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, quote, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, watch this, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the regions. Look at 15 verse 51. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, and raised up persecution. Say persecution. Raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. Now, they just had this threatening their life on a consistent basis. Look at what happens in verse 51. I love this. But they shook off the dust from their feet and came to Iconium. Watch this. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It was right after this intense threat, intense physical persecutions, that they left this meeting being severely persecuted. None of us, listen, we have an easy life in 2013. The joy of the Lord is so needed. It's a sustaining joy to endure fiery trials. My question is, how do you respond to fiery trials? Here in 2013, do you respond like that? Most of us don't. Do you respond with the joy and the Holy Spirit that gives you the joy, that knows that even though their body is getting beat down, they are rejoicing with a supernatural joy? What was that joy from? It was a sustaining, strengthening joy. A lot of times we need strength, but really, we just need the joy of the Holy Spirit. Because the joy of the Holy Spirit, listen, is our strength. In the presence of the Lord, there is joy. Joy! And that is where our strength is. And so do we have this type of joy, or do we only have the external version of joy that we're so familiar with in our charismatic circles? Because I tell you, the external, what we've seen, is not going to last you through trials. It is not going to last you when your bank is saying zero and you have to pay the mortgage. It's not going to be the outward manifestation of ha, 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 ha. You won't be able to sustain properly if you're a revival junkie, and I say it that way in a nice way, that just wants to go from meeting to meeting to meeting to get blasted by the joy of the Holy Spirit. You have to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit to give you this strength. You will walk into the degree in the Spirit that, to the degree that you talk and fellowship to the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. You will walk in the Spirit to the degree you talk in fellowship with the Spirit and realize that God is in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen, in the Gospels, before before salvation and before the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the disciples did not react this way when it came to trials. This is the difference maker. That's why I want to highlight clear differences that the Holy Spirit made on the early church. When the early church, without the Holy Spirit, went through trials, they came back running, fearful, confused, doubting. Why do you doubt? Oh, I don't know. It's just, oh my God, all these things are happening. Peace be still. After the Holy Spirit, look, I want to show you another one. Look, guys, get up there. Put Acts chapter 5. Again, here's another journey in Acts. Acts chapter 5, remember, the first attribute is the joy in the Holy Spirit. By the way, we used to know a song by Ron Canole. How many know Ron Canole? Oh, my God. That's how old I am. I'm getting. Ron Canole used to sing a song years ago. He goes, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the key. You know it. She's bobbing her head like, oh. Okay, the Bible in Romans says, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. He got that song through the book of Romans. One of the attributes, listen, I'm just going to say this real boldly. If you say, oh, hallelujah. If you say you're filled with the Holy Spirit, an evidence should be authentic joy. I'm not talking about, hi, how you doing? No, I'm talking about, I have no money in my bank, but God is good. I know He's my daddy. I just got beat down. Wait, don't go over there. You're going to get persecuted. I'm going to do it because He's worthy. That's the joy that sustains you past the persecution that you're about to get. Look at Acts chapter 5. Guys, put it up there. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. If you guys could put it up there. Look at this other attribute of joy. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. I'm going to read through 40 to 42. And they agreed with him, these elders of Israel. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So after you're in this courtroom, not only to say don't speak on the name of Jesus, they got beat. I want to tell you the 2013 version of that in just a second. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing, oh my God, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They were rejoicing. So let me give you a picture of what that is. They just got out of this meeting and they were like, I told you never to go. This is a 2013 version of this scripture. Don't ever get that. And they're being, get out of here. Come here, John. We just got beat down for the gospel. We were counted worthy by Jesus to get beat down by the gospel. Give me power. Oh, it's all right. They left rejoicing together. Can you believe it? God chose us to suffer for the gospel. No. Today, we have an easy life. When something wrong happens, we not only do not have the joy of the Lord, but we want to leave the church. We want to leave our ministry. We don't show up for 2 months because someone said something to us or didn't agree with you. But they said, I'm going. When is the last time that you had a reality that when you woke in the morning, that tomorrow when you wake up in the morning, your life is threatened every day? Imagine waking up every morning. I may get killed today. Most of us are like, oh, I don't think the Lord's telling me to go today. There's like, that's fine. That's why when someone gave him that prophetic symbol around his waist and said, hey, listen, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get bound. This is a prophetic act. He goes, I'm ready to die. Let's go. The joy of the Lord will sustain you through fiery trials. And it's the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about this morning, is the differences that the Holy Spirit makes. I want to contend for that, don't you? I want to be able to still say all is well when the widow's son was dying. All is well. All is well. No way. I would have been like, no. All is well. My son is dying. That person in the Old Testament, the widow, her son died. And the prophet goes, all is well. Everything is well. there was an inner knowing. These people had an inner knowing, not this charismatic outward extension of joy that we have come to label the joy of the Holy Ghost. The true joy of the Holy Ghost is internal. You know what? You want to know something real cool? Here's a little key. Before I go to the next difference maker of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how the early church activated this joy? Are you ready? They sang constantly. I'm not talking about worship leaders. I'm talking about people just getting beat down. And then as they're walking the streets of Jerusalem or baking some bread, they're walking. They're like, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. You don't believe me? Look at Ephesians. I love this. Watch this. We're benefits or realities or differences the Holy Spirit make, we never see this. Look at Ephesians real quick, chapter 5. Just put it on the screen. Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. Watch. This is how you activate the joy inside of you. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Most of us, we only think filling of the Holy Spirit is one avenue. Watch what the very next verse is after you get filled. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and go back. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things of the Father. In other words, he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when attribute of being filled with the Holy Spirit, sing. I'm going to say something that you don't need to be a worship leader to sing. You don't need to be on stage to sing. You don't even have to have a voice to sing. You just have to make a joyful noise. Glory to God. It don't have to be a beautiful song. To God is always beautiful. But to people, they may be like, who cares? Who cares? They activated the joy by singing. I think that's a lost art today because we've labeled that only to the worship leaders. Man, I am going to sing. If David can sing, I'm going to sing. If the trials of life of the joy could be sustained through my singing, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, He will sing through you. It's impossible to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not have a new song. Have you ever woke up just all of a sudden? I mean, you're supposed to not be singing. I mean, you just heard news that you're not supposed to be singing. I've had that honestly come up and I would just wake up and there's some things going on in my family or something like that, and I'll just have a song of the Lord. I'm like, man, I haven't sang that in years. And it's just the Holy Spirit singing through me. That's what it is. Because He's trying to develop a sustaining joy that comes through that relationship of singing. Being filled with the Spirit means you have a song in your heart. Amen. You probably never heard that before, but it's going to happen. You mark my words. It may not be a CD that nobody, it doesn't have to be Carrie Job, it doesn't have to be Matt Gilbin. It could be Joe. It could be John, Julie. It's the song of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? So, how we need this type of joy back in the church again to rid us from our complaint and our negative emotions. Our negative emotions are almost a result or a sign that we're not walking in this type of joy. Because they never complained when they got beat down. If anybody had the opportunity to complain, they're like, do you know how much I've done for you, Lord, and now I get beat down? I've tithed. I've released my offering. I've released my faith, and I still get, most of us want God to protect us all the time. But you know what? That, and our joy is contingent based on what we don't get. Oh, thank you, Lord. Or what we do get. Well, if I do get protection, I'm going to be joyful. But you know what? God has failed me because I'm here and I still got beat. They were joyful no matter what. One of the greatest attributes of the early church is they walk with a visible joy. Doesn't the world need that more from Christians? A lot of Christians I meet, I say this with a humble heart. You can't tell them apart from the world, or they may love the Lord, but they're always in a bad mood. That's not the gospel that I read. That's not the Christian believer that I see. We're supposed to be bubbling. I'm not talking about with charisma, with authentic joy of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? It's a lifestyle of worship. The second thing that they had, I'm going to try to hurry here. The second attribute that the early church had was a deep sense of conviction. Deep sense of conviction about their lives and about the words that they spoke. I'm going to say that again. It was deep conviction in their personal lives, and when they spoke, it cut to the heart of the listeners. If there was preachers actually preached with conviction back then. It was, they were cut. People were lived. A distinctive factor of the Holy Spirit, you mark it down, is that before the Holy Spirit, there was very little conviction. After the Holy Spirit, when people spoke, it cut to the heart. Look at this. Acts chapter 2, again, journey in Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Are you getting anything from this? Acts chapter 2, verse 32, and we're going to read from 32, 38. Make sure you guys have that back there. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. Acts chapter 2. Verse 32, we're going to go through 38. Look at what it says. This Jesus God has raised up. Now, this is Peter addressing the Sanhedrin and these rulers that were just really bringing fear on these people. Now, Peter said, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Now, watch. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, for till I make your enemies a footstool. Keep going. Now watch this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, I want you to see the conviction here. Now, when they heard this, remember, this is the same Peter that hid from a girl that was recognizing his accent. And he lied to this girl because he was timid and he was fearful. And now, that same Peter who warmed himself in the fires of the world, where worldly people were, and he was warming his hands, that same Peter, the difference of the Holy Spirit is, watch what happened when he spoke. Not just in power. When he spoke, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Another translation says pricked. They were pricked to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall I do? Look at verse 38. Verse 38, not 39. He says, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, look up at me for a second. Look up at me. This type of conviction was brought by the person of the Holy Spirit. And you know what it produced? The person of the Holy Spirit produced great conviction in his words and his lifestyle, which automatically birthed a healthy fear of the Lord. I think sometimes we try to work up the fear of the Lord without having conviction, and it's impossible. When you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the fear of the Lord will be automatic, my friends. The fear of the Lord will come in the way that you live. And the Holy Spirit brings this to the reality because this is a little word study I want to give you. When it says in the Gospel of John that the soldiers pierced the side of Jesus, I want you to see this. That the soldiers pierced the side of Jesus and it pierced the heart. That word in the Greek is lesser in a magnitude than the word cut or pricked here in this scripture. So what does that say? In other words, Peter's words at Pentecost cut deeper into the heart of people than the spear did the heart of Jesus. The words, everybody say the words. Nowadays, we have very little speaking anymore on conviction that brings conviction. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. It's not a sorrow of the Lord. Let me tell you, one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit, you can write this down, is you will walk in conviction and you will speak with conviction. You will speak. Ordinary people that were just ordinary, D.L. Moody was quoted as saying this. I read many stories on revivalists. D.L. Moody said this, before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before I got an encounter with the Holy Spirit, I would speak the same sermons. After I got an encounter with the Holy Spirit, I still spoke the same sermons, but the difference was the Holy Spirit changed the response of the hearer. Before, D.L. Moody would speak, and he would have to coerce and reason with people to come, and that's why, I don't want to get into this, but I think because of our lack of conviction in America, we are resided to a prep rally to get people to lift their hands up. And we're resided to, come on, please, come on, come to the altar, please, don't you know that God is here? When D.L. Moody was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he spoke the same sermon he did years ago without the Holy Spirit, and this time the Holy Spirit changed the response. They were cut to the heart. They were cut with conviction. A lot of the sermons in America is how big we could get, how good our life could be, and have very little conviction. And that's why we have all these mega churches. Praise God for that. But you know, if all our message is to live good, never have any problems, don't expect any problems, and have no conviction, we will not be fully Spirit-filled. A Spirit-filled believer has a difference of joy. Say joy. Has a difference of conviction. There's a divine penetration in your words and in your lifestyle. I don't want to get there because of time, but our lifestyle should be a lifestyle of conviction ruled by the Holy Spirit. We've limited the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit to only power, which is important. But we cannot walk with power without walking in conviction and joy. The third attribute of the Holy Spirit, the third difference that the Holy Spirit made in the early church is they operated, thirdly, in great wisdom and great knowledge. Great wisdom and great knowledge. Look at Acts chapter 6. Oh, I pray that you're hungering for a difference of the Holy Spirit. If this is something we're not walking in, we need to contend for this. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Again, I'm giving you a brief journey through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6, verse 8 says this. I'm going to read from 8 through 10. It'll be up on the screen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now watch it. What's this third attribute? Wisdom. Okay? And he did signs and wonders among the people. Verse 9. Then there arose some from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Are you ready for this? Look at verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They could not resist the wisdom and the spirit. Do you see how that word spirit is capitalized in your Bibles? I did a Greek study of that. That word spirit is, when you look at it in the Strong Concordance, it was triune God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about the union with the Holy Spirit will make you, I know this sounds almost foolish or simplistic, wiser. Now you may say, oh, well, that's just really, you know, that's not a really important thing. I know we all make mistakes. Listen, divine wisdom is much needed today. Because with wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it will stop you from making foolish decisions that will cause you to go into a lifestyle and habitual pattern of sin. Listen, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, wisdom will tell you, and this may sound for young people, but it's not, it's for everybody, that a married man should not be going out with another married woman or somebody else. Or a married woman should not be going out by themselves with another married man. Come on, say amen. I know you don't like it that much, but that's the truth. If you had the Spirit of God in you, wisdom inside of you would say, this is not right. And it will increase discernment in your life. The wisdom of God is not just something, you know, about the Bible says the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom actually helps you walk in the fear of the Lord. It's not the worldly wisdom or worldly smarts that we get. It's the wisdom that the Bible is clear about that these people walked in. Listen, before the Holy Spirit came to these people, the disciples were asking questions. All the time. What is this? What is this for? I remember one time, they're just asking questions. They didn't have the spiritual wisdom to understand. There was one time I was laughing and I was studying this. I was thinking of the time where Jesus was walking. He was explaining spiritual truth to people that really had not had the fullness of the Holy Spirit yet. And he's like, you know, our friend Lazarus is asleep. And I was reading this, just laughing because then the disciples were like, who's going to wake him up? Who's going to wake him up? And then Jesus is like, he's dead. I can almost imagine Jesus sighing and going, I meant he's dead, man. He's dead. Lazarus is dead. He says he's not asleep? No. He's dead. Well, he's eating and so he's fasting one time and he's like, I don't want any food. Has anybody ever given food yet? Have they? Hey, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have no part of me. Oh. No. I thought we were following the Savior. Now he's talking about cannibalism. No. Before the Holy Spirit, the disciples were asking questions. After the Holy Spirit, they were answering questions. That's the difference maker. Before the Holy Spirit, I don't know how, I don't know why. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? After the Holy Spirit says, this is that which the prophet Joel said. I'm going to answer why you think everybody is drunk. Peter rose up and says, this is that the Holy, that was prophesied in Joel. In the last days, it shall come. And he began to quote scripture. It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. When you are constantly fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to take a 3-day sabbatical to answer someone's question. Well, hey, do you think I should move to California? Well, let me go ahead and pray for about 5 hours. Sometimes, you do need to pray. But let me tell you, these people operated in wisdom. The Bible says they could not resist the wisdom and the Spirit where Stephen spoke of. Glory to God. We need this type of wisdom in the church. Can I hear an amen? Do you know that the wisdom is one of the key attributes given to the Holy Spirit prophesied by Isaiah the prophet? Do you know that? Real quick, if we could have the worship team come up here. I'm just give me about 10 or so more minutes. I'm not done yet, but I want to have the worship team up here. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 2. I'm going to give you lots of scriptures today. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 2. The prophet Isaiah, years ago, prophesied qualities of the Holy Spirit. Did you guys know that? Do you guys know that Isaiah, the prophet, some of you guys know, I didn't know that, actually gave hints of a quality of the person of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, eventually upon individuals. It was upon the servant Jesus, obviously. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots. Look at verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of what? Wisdom. These are attributes of the Spirit. The Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might. That's the one we're always used to. Spirit of might. Right? When it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit, we only focus on Spirit of might. But there's the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So Isaiah actually prophesied. He said, you know what? We need, as Christian believers, if we say that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to walk in divine wisdom. Amen. We need to walk in the wisdom of God. How many say amen to that? Can I just say this before I go to the next one? Hear me well. Desperation and wanting things quick will cause you to walk in a lack of wisdom. I'm going to say that again because I feel the Lord. Desperation and wanting things quickly. Now, because of desperation, will cause you and I to walk in a lack of wisdom. I think one of the things, the lost arts of the church, is waiting on the Lord. The Bible says, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up? Some of us are like, I'm going to do it, no matter what. Can we learn how to hear the voice of the Lord so he could download wisdom? And you know that many of you have the potential to have businesses and ministries that is going to affect the earth if you just simply wait on instruction. Amen. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit will give you the instruction, but fools rush in. There was a movie years ago called Fools Rush In, but that is a true reality. If you are rushing into something and always out of desperation trying to get something, you're going to miss a big part of the wisdom of the Lord, my friends. When's the last time we waited for the instructions of the Lord? You know, the Bible says that as we sleep, he seals our instructions. And Isaiah says, you will hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk ye in it. So the wisdom of God was actually a difference maker, say difference maker, of the early church. So there was joy, authentic joy. There was conviction. Then there was wisdom, knowledge and wisdom. If we could have the worship team come up. The fourth one is this, and this is very, very popular, but we can't go without doing this. The fourth difference maker that the Holy Spirit made on the early church was they walked in authority and boldness. They walked in authority and boldness. Acts chapter 4, real quick. Verse 29 through 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your servant Jesus. Watch this. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled, here's this person again, with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The same Peter that was shy all of a sudden became bold as a lion when the Holy Spirit came upon him and when he addressed the Sanhedrin. Stephen, knowing that he was going to get stoned, he looked at this tough crowd and he said, "You stiff-necked in heart, you always resist the Holy Spirit." Could you imagine being in front of people who know they can't wait to kill you and you say that to them? Many of us would be pleading for mercy. No. What I really meant was, I mean, Jesus is Lord, but come on, man. You know, I mean, if you want to receive him, you could. If you don't, no. You are the one who rejected him. He's the chief cornerstone. You reject him. The Bible talked about people rejecting him. He's talking about you. And they were, you know what? The boldness of the Lord is what we need in America again. We need the boldness of the Lord. And listen, boldness is not something that we fabricate. Boldness is not personality either. Neither is boldness volume. You could be real quiet and operate in boldness. When Jesus walked around, I don't think he goes, "Come on in the name of me," you know, whatever. He had such authority, he would come out. He knew, I'm going to go sidetrack real quick. In John chapter 3, I believe, he says, the Spirit is given to Jesus without measure. Without measure. And yet, there's a principle there. There's a principle. Because he's told us, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whatever I've done, you shall do, and greater work shall you do." I believe that we could contend for that type of reality that Jesus had. I believe that we can say, "Holy Spirit, I desire to be baptized by you. I desire to be enwrapped with your love and with your personality, with what hurts you. Show me what makes Jesus real in my life." And you will start realizing that as you walk in authority and you walk in the Holy Spirit, your words will have authority, your teachings will have authority, your life will have authority, your prayers will have authority. And you will stop running in fear because of the boldness of the Holy Spirit. Listen, boldness is not needed just to preach in the street corners. Boldness is needed when you're standing up for truth and integrity. Because many times in your family, there may be people that are encouraging you to do the opposite. And boldness is simply sitting in a dinner table and everyone's mouthing off to something and you have the boldness to say, "This is not right." Or when someone talks about God and it's just general, and you say, "No, the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ." And let me just say this, it's always a one-way street in the gospel. It's never many roads. Never many roads. And so we have to be bold about what's God and what's not. Because I see a trend in Christianity, American Christianity, that we've ceased to be bold on biblical truths. And we, in the sake of tolerance and media and technology, we have adopted things that we should never have adopted in our theology, in our churches, because we don't walk in boldness. We have something. This is a difference maker. This is a difference maker of the Holy Spirit. Number five. I'm almost done. The fifth one. There was a difference in the early church after the Holy Spirit. There was a distinct separation and consecration from the world. I'm going to say that again. Some of you need to hear this. No, seriously. There was a distinct and clear evidence of separation from the world for those after the Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit, they blended in the world really good. But after the Holy Spirit, they did not desire the world at all. They did not desire the world at all. When they were fasting and praying, the Bible says, for lack of time, the Bible says in Acts 13, verse 2 through 3, it says, while they fasted and prayed, they said, "Separate to me Barnabas. Separate from me Paul for the work I have called them to do." When God calls you, He separates you from the world. The sad thing with the church today is that we have, the church has been infiltrated by the world instead of the church infiltrating the world. We have adopted things that the early church would never adopt. I sometimes wonder what Peter would say if he was sitting in our services. Or Paul would say, what we tolerate, what we watch. Some of the language that comes out of our mouths, there was a distinct and undeniable separation from the world. You know what the Paul says in Corinthians? He says, come out from among them and be separate, and I will receive you and I will be a father to you. I know I didn't get a lot of amens because unfortunately the church, for the most part, is filled with the world. And please don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you that when you look at the early church and you look at Christians now, there was one huge blaring thing. They did not desire worldly things. But I thought, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Yeah, He loved the people in the world, not the systems or the influences of the world. Amen. Can I ask you something? If you're struggling with boredom and looking to the world to fulfill that through TV programs, through the internet, through excessive drinking, I know you guys don't want me to go there, but excessive drinking all in the name of freedom. Hey, I'm not going to go to hell if you drink. I know that. But you know what? We have found loopholes for everything in Christianity now. If it's not one thing, it's the other thing. It's like, well, you know, we've evolved. We've progressed. No, the Bible never evolves or regresses. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must start being Christians that are separate from the world. The Bible says He is coming for a bride that is pure and spotless without wrinkle. What are the worldly things that you want anyways? Maybe that's a sign that you're not tapping into the most beautiful person in this universe. The person of the Holy Spirit will rid you from boredom. Worldly desires are fleeting. I pray every single day. God's my witness. You can ask my wife. Every single day. I speak this scripture. I prophesy over my sons. Jonathan, Jaden, you shall not love the world, nor the things in this world, nor the pride of life, nor the lust of the eyes, nor the lust of the flesh. You shall not. I don't even pray. I say you will not love the world. I'm going to be very honest. Why are so many people, maybe even in this room, struggling with lukewarmness? Because the world is attracting you, is attractive to you. Oh yes, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'm going to share it right now. You know a lot about a person, but where they are attracted to. If you say you're a Christian, if you say you're a believer, and you're constantly reading secular books, I'm just going to say it. Always with secular friends, always. I'm not saying that we can't be a light, but if your best friend is all these secular, worldly people that have nothing to do with Jesus, there's something wrong with your Christianity. One sinner destroys much good. We need to reach a sinner, but we can't go to bed with them. We shouldn't be intimate with them. We shouldn't be getting advice from them. I heard a young person years ago, they said, oh, don't worry, Pastor George. You know, these worldly people around me, they're really nice people, and they keep me in check. I'm like, what? You're a daughter of the Holy of God, and you're saying worldly people are going to convict you? Hey, you know what, child of God? You know, you shouldn't be cursing like that, you know? Lord, touch them, Lord. I mean, can you imagine worldly people giving a Christian counsel? Hey, brother, you know, you need to tone down on that drinking, bro. You know, I mean, you're not like one of us, so hey. Okay, thank you for keeping me in check. No! I'm going to say this. If you're attracted to certain things, it reveals what's in your heart. That's all it is. That's all it is. Look, I'll give you an example. I love everything about the kingdom, but there's certain things that I'm not attracted to. If you give me a book on finances, I'll be like, oh. If you tell me an angel wrote it, I'll be like, oh. I'm just telling you the truth. You give that to Tony, he'd be like, oh, hey! You give me a book on... watch this. You know why? Because he's drawn to that. Whatever you're drawn to reveals the things in your heart. But if you give me a book on revival, if you give me a book on the old patriarchs of the faith, if you give me a book on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I become alive. Or Chronicles of Revival. Why? Because deep down in my heart, I'm called to do that. My point is this. You could solve the problem if you're worldly or not. I'm going to give you the answer right now. Well, I don't know if I'm, what are you attracted to? Think. If you're attracted to the Word of God and you're hungering for the Word of God, chances are He's draining you from some of those desires by the Holy Spirit. But if you're attracted to carnal things, that means, please don't get mad at me, you are carnal. I say this because I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say this. If you're always attracted in your heart to things, it shows you the level of desire that has dominated your mind and your heart. But the good news is the personal Holy Spirit could change that if you start turning and having a fellowship relationship with Him. How many say amen? I have so many, so I'm just gonna breeze by the last two because of time. The sixth one was they had a great delight and emphasis in the lifestyle and culture of prayer. We have this down in the house of prayer, but let me tell you something. The clear evidence, I mean, everywhere you went, everywhere you looked, every time slot, I was literally for 5 hours yesterday, I couldn't believe. And they went, and this time, and then Peter and James went at the temple at the hour of prayer, and they prayed. And while they prayed, there was a person in the divination, a woman that had a spirit of divination, but was preceded by, and they prayed, when they prayed, how they prayed, when they prayed, prayed. The first original prayer movement in the New Testament was the book of Acts. I'm talking about, we've come to know the prayer movement now. Let me tell you something. The book of Acts is flooded with cultures of prayer everywhere. Which leads me to this point. You and I cannot be effective, claiming Holy Spirit-filled people if we have 0 hours or a lifestyle of prayer. I'm not just talking about corporately. I'm talking about individually. That we need to have a culture of prayer. Let me tell you, before the Holy Spirit, when prayer was the topic, Peter, all this, Jesus up there, Lord, and he's sweating, and he says, stay with me, tarry for an hour. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus came down, saw Peter, and he's coming. Before the Holy Spirit, it was boring to pray. Afterwards, after the Holy Spirit came, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and they fasted and they prayed continually from house to house. Everything that they did when they, with power, they had a culture of prayer for hours. Now, I got to share this with you. This is my last scripture. I got to share this with you. Look at Acts chapter 12, and verse 1 through 5, and then I'm just going to close because I don't have time to give you the rest of the attributes. But for the sake of time, they had a great desire for the Word and for souls after the Holy Spirit. I can't because of time. But Acts chapter 12, I'm closing with this. Acts chapter 12, look at this. The difference, say the difference. Say this after me. Say the Holy Spirit is the difference maker. That's what He is. Joy, conviction. He has wisdom. Now look at this. Conviction. Now that the time of Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church, have to be quick. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it, that it pleased the Jews, King Herod proceeded further to seize Peter. Now also in those days of it was unleavened bread. So when he had arrested Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Look at this last verse. Here it is. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Say but. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Oh, hallelujah. You know why I like this? Not just because it was prayer. It's because it wasn't only leadership praying. They said the entire church began to pray for Peter. And can I say something? That was not abnormal. They're like, well, we do this all the time, so let's just do it again. It wasn't abnormal. It takes tooth and nail to drag people to a prayer meeting. Now, could you imagine if one of your brothers and sisters were in jail? Hey, look, we sent emails. Pray. Okay, I'll get there. I'm just driving. I remember reading years ago, I'll close with this, that there was a true story of a person that was on death row, true story. And they were on death row, and they were wrongfully accused, and they were literally in the electric chair. about to get electrocuted. And there was a last minute breakthrough that came in through the government, and the government cleared this person, sent a telegram to the chief warden in the prison saying, "We've got it wrong, do not execute him." The guy got there, ate a sandwich, drank coffee, no urgency whatsoever. True story, drank coffee, finished it, finally set his meal down, got up, took the telegram to the electric chair to give them the news that they were no longer to be executed. By the time they got there, because they took their time and ease, the person was executed. And I think of today, the lack of urgency that we have in our personal lives with prayer. The lack of just sitting, eating spiritual sandwiches, nice coffee. Oh, well, you know what? We got this at the Orlando House of Prayer. We're Orlando House of Prayer, so, you know, we got this. I mean, we're known for this, and that's sometimes the biggest problem with this, because just because we're known for it doesn't exclude us from doing it. The Bible says the church prayed. Constant prayer was made by Peter, by the church, not the eldership, not the leaders, not the full-timers, the church, the ushers, the children workers, the pew warmers, all those. They said, "We've got to pray now for Peter." And suddenly, because of prayer, an angel came and broke free the chains of Peter. We need the difference of the Holy Spirit, like the early church. How many say amen? Stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. I'm not going to take long. If we could sing something, guys. A little bit intense, if you guys don't mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift up your hands right now. Unfortunately, I'm not going to minister much because of time. I wish I had a little bit more time, but I'm not going to. Lift up your hands right now. Come on. Hallelujah. We're just going to sing the song. We're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit will become your difference maker right now. I want you to contend for that. I want you to contend for conviction, for true joy that sustains you.
Holy, 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 you are mighty, 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 you are holy. Holy, holy, you are mighty, 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 you are holy, 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 you are mighty, mighty, mighty.
Begin to contend.
You are
for the difference of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Holy, holy, you are mighty. Holy, 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 you are mighty, mighty.
Release
mighty.
The person of the Holy Spirit
you
now.
You are holy, 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 you are mighty.
Come on, lift
mighty,
up your hands
mighty,
all over this place right now.
You are holy, 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 you are mighty. And don't cry.
holy, Jesus.
You are holy, holy, holy. You are mighty, mighty.
One more time,
mighty.
You're holy.
You are holy, holy, holy.
You are mighty,
mighty,
I want us right now, I usually don't do this, but I want us to turn right now and hold hands right now with somebody across the aisles. Just hold hands. This is how we're going to end this service today. I want us to take 2-3 minutes right now while the worship band is playing. I want you to contend. How many want to contend for the difference that the Holy Spirit made in the early church? Come on. How many realize that we need an authentic joy to sustain us for the fiery trials? We need conviction again. We need the wisdom of the Spirit of God. We need boldness in a culture of prayer. So I want you, right in your own words, as they begin to pray, I want you to open up your mouth and contend. It's between you and God. God, I need more of the Holy Spirit to fill me. I want the difference again. And if you want to just come to the altar and present yourself, that's up to you. But let's contend for the Holy Spirit to bring true, authentic difference in our life, that people could recognize us from the world and from the as Christians. So right now, open up your heart right now. Open up your mind. Open up your mouth and begin to contend for the Holy Spirit. Come on. Right now. Come on. Just you and God. Open up your mouth. You may want to contend for joy. You may want to contend for more conviction. You may want to contend for more wisdom. Holy Spirit, I contend for the joy of the Lord in my life. Against fiery trials.
You are mighty, mighty, mighty. You are holy, holy.
Come on, begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray. Release your desperation right now. Contend for the difference of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we repent. Forgive us for our lack of change. We're not looking like Jesus. Holy Spirit, baptize us. Separate yourself from worldliness. I'm calling you into consecration. I'm calling you into separation. Send the Spirit of God. Would you come now? Would you come now? The Spirit of the Lord says, I'm calling you out from the crowd. I'm calling you out from the world again. Do you hear my voice calling you to separate yourself? This is the call of the hour. You're filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He will drive out the worldly tendencies in our hearts. Father, make us holy. Baptize again with your Spirit. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Father, and I just ask you in Jesus' name that you will begin to do ministry right now. The hearts of the people that need it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise. Amen. Listen, I know we went a little overboard. We apologize for that. We're having a water baptism right across the street in the next 5 to 10 minutes. So if you're going to get water baptized, get a change of clothes, we'll meet you across the street. God bless you.
Don't forget the 2 o'clock class with Pastor George and pastoral team over at FSM Building. And 4 o'clock, if you're interested in finding out more information about the Forward and Messenger Alliance, FMA, you can feel free to attend for free this afternoon at 4 p.m. over at the FSM Building.